relationships. Last week, we looked at the subject of mothers, and the Lord's got us on the same trail about relationships, the importance of relationships. I don't know where you're at in your relationships, but probably a lot of us, as a matter of fact, all of us, probably could use some improvement in our relationships with each other. And sometimes we just are not aware of, for example, parents with children, and husbands and wives, and neighbors, and just friends in general. I believe today God is going to speak to us about this matter of how to have better relationships. That is, how to make the most out of your relationship. Right, really, rewards for right relationships. But sometimes we're not sure. Sometimes we just don't get it. We don't know how to build a relationship. For some reason, the devil's put a wedge in between us and our loved ones. And I'm convinced the devil, he's defeated in the name of the Lord Jesus. And speaking of not getting it, I heard about a lady that went to the doctor. And the doctor said to her, said, "Ma'am, I see what you've got. And what I'm going to suggest to you is what you need to do when you wake up in the morning, take this red pill every morning. Drink a full glass of water." And then the doctor said, "And besides that, when you get to the breakfast table, take this blue pill and drink a full glass of water." And then he said, "When you get to lunchtime, he said, take this green pill and drink a full glass of water." And then he said, "At supper time, I want you to take this purple pill and drink a full glass of water." She said, "Okay, Doc." She said, "What is my problem? What do I have?" He said, "Ma'am, you're not drinking enough water." And sometimes we don't get it. Sometimes we're not really sure. Did you hear about, speaking of last week being Mother's Day, this teacher was teaching about magnets, and she had spent the whole semester, 16 weeks, talking about magnets. M-A-G-N-E-T-S, magnets. And she gave a final exam on the subject of magnets. She said that as she drilled the children and the young people, said that magnets pick up things and they attract, you know, and you know what a magnet is? The final exam, one question, here it was. Who am I? I've got six letters, start with an M, and I pick up things off the floor. Every single child wrote mother instead of magnets. Hello. Well, sometimes we just don't get it. And I want you to get it today. In the book of Ruth, take your Bible and turn to chapter 3. The book of Ruth. The book of Ruth. R-U-T-H. Ruth. In the book of Ruth, chapter 3. I will read one verse as we get into this message this morning. And it's entitled this, Rewards with Right Relationships. Rewards. I'm glad to tell you, thank God, God will reward you with right relationships. In the book of Ruth, chapter 3. I want you to find, please, verse 17. Ruth chapter 3, verse 17. Going to be a little different this morning. I'm going to read a text, and then we're going to expound the chapters in the book of Ruth. Ruth chapter 3, verse 17. You got it? Say amen if you got it. "And she said, these six measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law." Don't go empty-handed to your mother-in-law. Let's pray. I know you haven't even found it yet, but let's pray. You'll understand in a moment. Father, I bless you for the word of God. I praise you, Lord. Lord, that you're not constrained by time. We are. We're so time conscious. And God, I pray you'll cleanse my heart and you'll forgive my sins. Every one of them, Lord. Help us, Father, to be sensitive to the still small voice today. I pray, God, that you'll just encourage us today with your glory. And Father, you'll break every stronghold over generational curses and any way and every way which Satan would cause a division between us and our loved ones and us and as a church family. Dear Lord, we're looking to you. I thank you for saving my soul. I thank you for making me whole. I praise you, God. Your word speaks to our heart, and we just yield ourselves to you and recognize our God that if anything's going to be done, Father, you've got to do it. I don't know where everybody's at, but Lord, I'm convinced you've got this on my heart for a reason. So we pray that you'll have free course in every heart. And then, precious Lord, you'll give us grace to yield and surrender to you and be broken before you. And dear God, in the name of Jesus, that you'll draw us closer to you and to each other. And we thank you now and give you praise in advance because of the blood of the Lamb, because our Lord, you're on the throne. Your word forever set in heaven. And we love you, Lord, because you love us. amen, and amen, and amen. There are three ways that you and I can make the most of our relationship. Three ways, and here they are. Number one, by holding on to the right things. By holding on to the right things. Number two, not only by holding on to the right things, you'll understand it in a moment, but number two, by believing that the Lord is going to bless you in the right time. God is going to bless you in the right time. Not only by holding on to the right things, but believing God is going to bless you in the right time. Then number three, there's a third truth that God spoke to my heart this week over this passage. Never preached on this particular passage. Preached on the book of Ruth several times through the years. Never about the same message. This message, I believe the Lord birthed into my heart for a reason. I don't know who you are today, and I don't know what you're going through, but I believe that God is wanting to do some things in your life. No doubt He is, and He will, and we're going to praise Him right now. What He's going to do. Number three, the third way to make the most out of your relationships is this. Namely, by expecting God to fill you up in the right way. Fill you up in the right way. By expecting God to fill you up in the right way. Number one, here's the first way to make the most out of your relationship. By holding on to the right things. Turn back to the book of Ruth chapter 1. If we look at the book of Ruth chapter 1, you find out, first of all, the situation. And then the decision. And then finally the influence or the testimony of this person in this particular passage. Number one, the first truth that God wants to speak to us about is this. By holding on. That is, how can I build stronger relationships? Now, here is the situation of the book of Ruth, all right? Are you familiar with the book of Ruth? In the book of Ruth, there was a man who was a believer, a Jewish man by the name of Elimelech. Let's say that name again. Elimelech, say it again. Elimelech. Elimelech had a wife named Naomi. Let's say that name again. Naomi. And Naomi had two boys, and Elimelech had two boys, Malan and Chilion. We read this in the first chapter. Now, here's the situation. A famine occurred in Bethlehem. That name is called the House of Bread. A famine occurred, and therefore Elimelech and his wife, what was his wife's name? Naomi. What were the two boys' names? Malan and Chilion. Don't name your son Chilion, amen? But anyway, and here's the situation. A famine occurred. Now keep in mind, the book of Ruth comes after what book? I said the book of Ruth comes after what book? Judges. What happened in the book of Judges? There was a cycle of sin. People fell into sin. God raised up judges, and yet people in the last of the book of Judges, everybody did what was right in their own eyes. Now, many of these Samuel is the author of the book of Ruth, but here is the situation. Elimelech and his wife, Naomi, they traveled to a place from Bethlehem to a place called Moab. Question, how long was Moab? How far was Moab? How long did it take them to get there? Why are they there? What's going on? Who are they going to meet? What is this story all about? I'm telling you, three ways to make the most of your relationships. Number one, by holding on to the right things. Now watch this. Elimelech, Naomi, and their two boys traveled to a place called Moab. If you look at the map, you'll find out that Moab is just on the other side of the Dead Sea from Bethlehem. Scholars tell us it's about 30 to 60 miles, or according on which way to go. Now, they didn't have cars like we do today, nor do they have buses like we do today, or airplanes, and therefore, they traveled, and they traveled slowly. How long did it take for them to get to Bethlehem and to Moab? It probably took about 7 days. 7 to 10 days. Here's a famine now, a believing Jewish family that's following God. A famine occurs. Some believe it was because of the judgment of God on Bethlehem and the nation of Judah. How many believe that God was still judge America today for our sin? Come on, don't believe it. I'm telling you, America's not in sin. But nonetheless, I'm glad that you love the Lord, and I'm glad that you're going to make a difference. And I pray for our nation. We need to pray for our military as well. But listen, brother, we are in a dire need of God's intervention. So, the rest of the story. They end up in Moab. Guess what they meet? There's a little girl over there that God has divinely providentially placed her there such a time as this. I'm glad to tell you, thank God, that God knows what He wants to do through you. He knows what He wants to do through me. And He's got She's a Moabite. They worship a pagan god, Chemosh. This is a false god. And so here's the situation. Now, secondly, in chapter 1, I want you to notice that not only the situation, but Ruth is at a crossroads in her life. She has a decision to make. There's some of us today that have a decision to make. While you're at a decision about, should I quit my job and go to another job? Should I move from my home? What about this relationship? How should I handle it? Should I say this? Should I not say this? Lord, what would you have me to do? Ruth was at a crossroads in her life. You say, what is the crossroads? What's going on? Why is she at a crossroads? Here's why. Because her husband, Mahlon, which is the oldest boy, he died. And then there was another young lady from Moab that was involved. Her name was Orpah. So after 10 years of Elimelech and Ruth and Mahlon and Naomi, Elimelech dies, Chilion dies, and Mahlon dies. And so you've got three women without any men. 10 years pass by. And so Ruth is at a crossroads. What's she going to do? Her mother-in-law is there, Naomi. Now here is the situation. Naomi is ready to go back home. The family has broken. Now they're getting blessed once again. And so here is the decision that Ruth must make. And it's this. Should she stay in Moab or should she follow her mother-in-law, Naomi, back to Bethlehem? I want you to pick up in the text of Ruth chapter 1. You ready? Ruth chapter 1. Look at verse number 11. Ruth chapter 1, verse 11. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughter. She's talking to those two girls I just told you about. Ruth and Orpah. She said, turn again, my daughters. Verse 11. Why will you go with me? Are there any more sons in my womb that I may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also through the night, and to bear more sons. Skip down to verse 14. Verse 14. And they lifted up their voice, that is Ruth and Orpah. Now this is a wailing. This is a heartfelt cry. They lifted up their voice and wept with torrential tears. And they wept and again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. It was a kiss of saying goodbye. I'm leaving. She kissed her mother-in-law, but notice, Ruth clung unto her. What does that mean? Ruth held on to her mother-in-law. She said, now look what she says, verse 15. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back. She's speaking of Orpah. Ruth is. And unto her people, that is Moab, and the Moabites. By the way, the Moabites were descendants of Lot in his ancestral relationship with his own daughter. And let me just say this before we go any further. I do not find, even though there's difference of opinion about the Moabites marrying the Israelites, many Bible scholars, theologians say that there was no particular commandment that they were not to marry the Moabites. Rather, they were not. We know they were not married to marry the Canaanites. Nonetheless, you can argue that all day long. I'm telling you this, that God had a plan for Ruth, and God chose a Moabite, a pagan, a Gentile, to bring forth his son in the world. Now keep reading now. Verse number 15. She said, behold, a sister-in-law has gone back to her people and under her gods. You see that in verse 15? Under her gods, dead gods, I might add. Return thou after thy sister-in-law, said Naomi. But Ruth said, entreat me not, verse 16, to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. I like this next phrase, underline if you don't know it. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if all but death part thee and me. And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Ruth was at a crossroads. I believe this. Listen to me. Relationships are built by holding on to the right thing. Ruth could have said, no, I'm going back to my old ways. I'm going back to my old God. There's some of you sitting here today. You know you need a change in your life, don't you? Come on, talk to it. You know you need a change. You know you've been discouraged. You know you've been the realization she could not serve a dead God anymore. She could not be selfish and do her own thing. She had to make a U-turn. She had to turn from the way she was living and turn from the way she had lived in the past, and she had to turn to Naomi and say, your God is going to be my God. Your people are going to be my people. Holding on to the right things. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Why do you think Ruth decided to go with Naomi? Why do you think that Ruth said no to her whole life prior to coming in relationship with Naomi? Relationships are built. Rewards are right. Listen, here's what I believe. That I believe personally that Ruth saw something different in Naomi. She saw there was something different about her and her God. Don't you imagine when they got in their house and they sat down, and when she saw how her mother-in-law, Naomi, and her husband, Elimelech, how they lived? They didn't live like the Moabites did. They didn't talk like the Moabites did. They didn't do the same thing the Moabites did. They were different. God tells us, his people, to be different. Amen. And amen and amen. He said we are peculiar people. Listen to me, brother and sister. If our life is no different than the world, we need to get rid of the religion we've got and come to Jesus and really be saved. If the world can't see a difference in you and me, if they can't see something's different about you and something's different about me, we might have the wrong God. We might just need to say, God, transform me, change me, cleanse me, fill me. And I got a feeling some of us today, there may be some mamas and daddies and grandparents and husbands and wives today, why we haven't been good examples to our children. We haven't been setting a good role model. Things we said, things we've done. And today God's saying, you need a change. You need to confess your sin. You need to break away from those old habits that you've been doing. Ruth, no doubt in my mind, saw the real deal in her mother-in-law, Naomi. Now, can I tell you something? That Naomi, when you have somebody die in your family, it tells a lot about you. And Naomi went through the very crisis of the midnight darkness of the soul. Hear her spouse, namely Elimelech, die. I don't know the Bible to declare, but I can imagine that Ruth probably watched Naomi go through that crisis. How many know that life is full of crisis? I know that we're up on the mountain one day, but you might be down in the valley the next day. And thanks be to God, it's in the valley we learn to lean. It's in the valley that God brings forth the fruit. It's in the valley that the glory of God walks with us, though we're in the valley of the shadow of death. I've got some word for some of you today. You're in the valley now. You're in the storm now. You're in the furnace of affliction now. But God said, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm going to be with you. And not only that, I'm going to shine like a light so this dark and this desperate world can see my glory on my children. Oh, listen, brother. It's not all about when the sun shines. It's about when it's cloudy and rainy as well. Ruth saw the real deal in her mother-in-law, Naomi, and said, I want what she's got. Now, there anybody here that sees the real thing in some other people? Ah, you've seen the way they walk and the way they talk. You've seen how they treat other people. You've seen how their attitude is. Oh, listen, people are watching us. And so Ruth saw the testimony of her mother-in-law. And she said, I'm going to be fine. Now watch this. Now, on the other hand, in this first saying of holding on to the right things, Ruth held on to the right things. Two parts. Number one, she held on to her relationship with God, the real God. And number two, she held on to her relationship with her family. Y'all see that? She held on to the relationship with the living God. Does anybody believe that there's something too hard for God? I'm glad to tell you, praise God, our God lives, he rules, he reigns. He's not a dead God. He's not a God that he should lie. He's not a God that he can't heal. He's not a God that he can't raise the dead. And as we sang a moment ago, in his name, watch this, in his name and through his blood and by his word, we are more than conquerors. Hallelujah and glory to God. Oh, brother and sister, listen. He's the living God.
He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yes, he is.
And so Ruth held on to the right things.
Number one is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
But she also held on to a relationship with him.
Don't miss this now. I want to ask you a personal question. Are you ready for it? Say, I'm ready. Here's your question. Who are you mentoring now? Who are you pouring into now? If you're not pouring into somebody, I want to ask you to get to this altar as fast as you can today and say, God, put somebody in my heart that I can pour into. If you're not pouring into, I know life's not just about going to work and coming home. Life's just not about being retired and just enjoying life. Life is about making a difference. It's about pouring into others. Naomi understood her responsibility. It's not only to reach one, but to teach one. Your responsibility, sir, your responsibility, man, is to pour into somebody. There are people all around here and you Lucky Creek Baptist Church would love for you to pour into them. They'd love for you to start praying with them. They'd love for you to start praying for them. And not only that, but there are people in your family that need you to pour into them. Naomi, I love this. Don't miss this. You beg for this? Watch this. Naomi understood. Man, listen to me. The key here is Naomi's goal, her goal. Her daughter-in-law had been gloriously saved by the power of the living God. Now her goal was your goal and my goal. You know what it was? Her goal was to bring Ruth under the blessings of God. She wanted to see Ruth get blessed by God. How many got some loved ones you want to see them get blessed by God? Watch this now. God reveals in my heart. Your and my goal are to bring our loved ones to get under the blessings of God. You say that God doesn't just bless ordinarily and normally, not necessarily. How many believe that obedience always brings blessings? Obedience always brings blessings. Your goal and my goal as parents is to bring our children under the, listen to me, listen, moms, will you listen? To bring our children and grandchildren so they can get blessed by God. You and I ought to have a heart for God. But then after God gives us a heart for Him, our heart ought to be to see our families get blessed by God to you. Okay. There's some of you wrestling tonight or today and last night without a burden, without a passion, without a cry to God. God, turn the heart of my son or daughter. God, turn the heart of my grandchildren. If you go through life in casual and just complacent and act like you don't care, you're not sent from God, and God wants to play by the Father's ground in your life today. I love it when you're doing that. Because you might be the only one praying for that loved one. You might be the only one salt and good light in their life. You get back sent from God, you get a bad attitude, you start getting worldly and carnal and get out of the will of God, and guess what? You can take some others with you. I can hear you. I say you can take some others with you. Hey, bringing mass epistles. And so, here, Naomi says, I want to bring Ruth of the blessings. And so that's our goal. Now, number two, there's a second way that we can make the most of our relationships. It's not only about holding on to the right things. Mamas, teach your children. Daddies, grandparents, teach them to follow after Jesus. Teach them to follow after God. Teach them to be in church on Sunday. I can't hear it. I've never seen a time, but I don't get on this other one, but I tell you what, bud. I mean this, and I don't just let me ramble for a moment. I've never seen a time, and in the time the Lord saved me in 30 years, I've never seen a time where going to church is just, I think I'll go if I want to, I don't have to, and I'm not good. Christians today are just so passionate about their going to church. I don't understand. And this life of land can come up. I don't think I'm going to church today. I look, I'm not being legalistic. I'm just telling you, there is a lack of surrender and commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ and to His will. And the devil's got a whole lot of things that get us preoccupied, running here and running there. Get involved in this. And you better believe the devil's strategy is to get you out of the will of God. Amen. Now, that just doesn't come to church when you can be the will of God. But thank God you're going to hear the word of God. But wait a minute. Number two, not only to those slight things. But number two, believe God's going to bless you at the right time. Turn to chapter 2. Turn to chapter 2. Believe that God's going to bless you at the right time. Oh, yes, he is. Chapter 2. Now, before we read chapter 2, I want to summarize the last part of chapter 1. Watch. Here is a little man. Here's the only thing. Leave Bethlehem. They're traveling over to Moab. And Naomi says this. And so she's going away. Why? She's going back home. 10 years have passed by. Her husband's dead. 2 children dead. She comes back. That's what she said. She said, I left full, but I'm coming back empty. I left full going over to Moab, and now I'm coming back empty. Have you ever come that way? I take one step forward and 2 steps back. Can I get an amen? You know what I'm talking about? I can't seem to get ahead. Have you ever said that? I don't know if you said that or not, but we think it at times. But wait a minute. God spoke my heart yesterday about this matter. Naomi, open your eyes, girl. I don't know what it's like to have to go through what you've been through, but Naomi, open your eyes. Look beyond where you're at right now, Naomi. Why? What do you mean, little pastor? Here's why. Naomi, if you can just see, guess who you're taking back with you to Bethlehem? Who did she take you back with? Ruth. Well, who was Ruth? And what did Ruth do? And what's so great about Ruth? And what's so great about Ruth coming back with her mother-in-law? Hello. Newsflash. Ruth, you're going to see, as you already know, got married to a man. We're going to see him all. And God Almighty had planned it before the foundation of the world that Ruth would be the instrument to bring forth the Savior of the world, the great grandmother of David, and the lineage and the ancestral line of the Lord Jesus, according to Matthew chapter 1. Ruth, a Gentile, is in the family of our Lord Jesus. So leave it, Naomi, take those words back. I know she was grieving. I'm not being hard on her. I know she was grieving. I know she was hurt. I know she left full and asked you to come back empty. But Naomi, I've got a suggestion to you. You're not going to be empty. You've got somebody that's going to make a difference. You might feel like you're empty today. You might feel like, well, I have a command. There's not much happening. God says, I'm honoring your faith. I'm going to honor. I'm going to be there with you. I'm going to see you through it. And so, here comes Naomi back to her home. And number two, the second way to make the most of your relationship is this. Not only by holding on to the right things, number two, but by believing. How many believe that God is going to bless you at the right time? God's going to bless you at the right time. He's an on-time God. I know some of us today are discouraged. We're down. We're saying, God, where are you blessing? Lord, I'm trying to serve you. God is a good God, a faithful God. Amen and amen. Chapter 2, verse 1. Are you there? Chapter 2, verse 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a man, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Let's say that name together. Boaz. Say it again. Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find. Somebody help me. I shall find what? I shall find grace. Underline that. Oh, we're going somewhere. Underline that. I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. Verse 3. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers and her hat. That word is mikri in the Hebrew. It means chance. And her chance. Sometimes like that fortune. Her chance was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was the kindred of Elimelech. Wait a minute. Can I tell you what God showed me about these three verses this week? Number one, God said he's not unrighteous to give your neighbor blood, which you showed to his name. Hebrews chapter 6. And there's some of you have been serving God a long time. You've been teaching. You've been witnessing. You've been doing other things. And you've gotten weary without doing anything. Or maybe you just got your eyes on Jesus. Or maybe you just kind of got tired. I don't know what it is, but I know this. I know that God will bless.
bless you at the right time. And thanks to God, God knows how to encourage us. God knows how to encourage us. He knows how to encourage you. I don't matter what you're going through. Here's three wonderful blessings God brought about. You probably missed it just reading over it. You probably read over it and didn't even register to you. Number one, the right person. That's in verse one. Number two, the right place. Number three, the right time. God says, I'll bless you with the right person. How many know that relationships are important? How many know that God knows how to give us favor when we are on our job, when we are in our families, and if God does not give us favor, my brother and sister, it won't happen. Y'all believe that, do you? Y'all believe and pray that God give me favor with this particular person and this particular person? Oh, yeah. It kind of reminds me of the story of that little girl that said to her mom, said, Mom, she looked at her mom and she said, Mom, why do you have, her mom was getting some gray hair in her hair. She said, Mom, why do you got gray hair in your hair? The mom said, the daughter said, but honey, it's like this. She said, the mother said, the little daughter said, when you're bad, and do things wrong, mom gets some gray hair. The little girl looked at her and said, Mom, if I was grandmother, I had full of gray hair. She said, shut up, you need to sit. But sometimes we miss it, sometimes we miss it. The right person, the right place, and the right time. The right person. Guess who Ruth was introduced to? Because she was hanging on to the right thing. She was hanging on to the living God. When you go, I'm going to go. Your people are going to be my people. She could have made a wrong decision right there. Uh-oh, it is back up. Some of you, you're on the brink of making a wrong decision. Your decisions determine your destiny. You do realize that, don't you? You ought to pray about that decision. Hey, don't you just be haphazard about that decision you've got to make. Seek God about it. Seek God to counsel about it. Where there's a multitude of counselors, there is safety. Proverbs 11, verse 14. So, Ruth made the right decision. She held on to the right thing. Guess what? God brought the right person in her life. Boy. And not only that, but God brought her to the right place at the right time. Look at this. You don't want to miss this. Look at where God brought her. Verse 2. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, let me now go to the field and green ears of corn after him, and whose side I shall find grace. And she said unto her, my daughter, she went and came and gleaned the field after the reapers, and her half, her chance lost the light on the part of the field belonged to Boaz and unto the kindred of Elimelech. Do you realize how many fields were out there? Do you realize how many people had so many fields out there? Do you realize who had to be in the right place at the right time? God's hand was all over Ruth. She was at the mainstream of the blessing of God. Naomi said, I can just get her to get under the blessing, the fountain of God's blessing. Listen, there's blessings through obedience. And Ruth was at the right place. She met the right person. And she just wasn't haphazardly. Wasn't luck. No, no. You might use that word luck, but I don't think there's such thing as luck, not for a child of God, because God's sovereign and God's ruling and he's ever ruling. And the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, as soon as they're led by the Spirit of God. They are the sons of God. Ruth, she met the right person. Why? Because she held all the right things. She believed God. She trusted the Lord. And she met Boaz, and then she ended up on the right field. And then, not the right person in the right time, but the right place. You see where it says, God gave her grace. How many are thankful to the grace of God today? Oh, my brother, sister, listen. It's grace. You know what grace is? Grace is a thrice holy God rising up off his throne and declaring the guilty, sinful, alienated, isolated sinner who deserves nothing but the judgment of God.
doing for you what you don't deserve. You just appreciate grace a little bit more. And I want to receive this song of amazing grace.
How sweet the sound.
Wait a minute. I think God's setting up some of you right now for His blessings on you.
Ruth got in the mainstream of blessing. The old man got run to the spot where the glory comes out. And consequently, Ruth was being blessed.
Is there anybody here saying that God should have been blessed to me?
Is there anybody here to testify and say, I have all my wants, but I got all my needs?
Is there anybody here? Sure, sure, sure. She said, I tell you what I want you to do, Ruth. Now keep in mind, Ruth had been leading in the field outside of handful of purpose. And she had found the right field, the right person, the right thing, the right timing, and so now Naomi says, it's not over yet, it's not over. Hey, listen to me, Jennifer, listen to me. You're helping somebody. Don't you just leave them hanging there. Sometimes you gotta give them some guidance. Sometimes you gotta give them some counsel. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of God, nor stand in the way of the sinner, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate both day and night. Psalm 21. But Naomi, you know what she says to her daughter-in-law? She said, oh, here's what I want you to do. She sees what God's will do. Naomi has already, with the eye of faith, believed that the God is a God who can do anything but fail, and he's got something better for her. Abel, if you read the book of Hebrews, Abel, God has a better place. Enoch, God had a better pursuit. Noah, God had a better protection. Abraham, God had a better promise. And Jacob, God had a better power. Joseph, God had a better position. Moses, God had a better purpose. And guess what? Joshua, God had a better possession. But for Ruth, God had a better plan. He's not going to leave over there, Moab. He's going to bring over here back to him. And guess what? Naomi says, Ruth, I want you to get cleaned up. I believe that get cleaned up is a good thing. Get cleaned up. Then I want you to fix yourself up. I want you to put some of that woofle juice on you. I know what I'm talking about. Something smells good. Get yourself fixed up now. You fix the mold there, the mold there. And she's, faith is taught. Now, Luke does not have to follow through on what she's been taught. You don't have to follow through today on what you're being taught. You can just turn a deaf ear, go out, be unchanged. Or you can follow through what God's telling you to do today. Understood faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Ruth understood that without faith it's impossible to please God. Ruth understood that if you stop faith is sin. It's anybody here that you're battling the faith. You got fear written all over you. You got doubt written all over you. You got insecurity written all over you. I'm telling you, thank God, God honors faith. Faith in Him. Faith in what He can do. You've been trusting yourself all enough. It's time to get out of your self trust and start saying, God, I trust you.
Until thou know how the matter will fall, the man will not be rest
till he had finished the thing this day. This is the word of the Lord. How can we build, make the most of our relationship? The rest of the story, you all about the rest of the story? Boaz is enough against the Redeemer, but the bottom line is Boaz marries Ruth. Boy, God set her up, the blessings, and then they have Abraham and Obed, and then Jesse, and then David. Oh, my soul, my soul, my soul. You don't believe in all today? You believe your feelings today? Is there anybody here that says, you know, I've let go of some of those great promises. God said he's not going to leave me or forsake me. I'm just trying to find him. God said, no, get back in the mainstream of my blessings. Then you'll see blessings fall from heaven. The Lord Jesus came out of this relationship between Boaz and Ruth. There are rewards for right relationships. What kind of relationship?